It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, Thursday. What's up? Welcome in, Grant and Danny on the Fan. August 15th, 2024. You are listening live. We are coming to you from our Half Street studios, and we are taking you all the way up to about 6:10 tonight ahead of Nats pregame. Charlie and Dave, 10 minutes after 6, first pitch set for 6:40 in Philadelphia. Fred Smoot's on the show at 3. Don't miss it. Always entertaining to talk to the mouth from the South.
Smooty.
The former Redskins great. What's up, Danny?
Hey, buddy. It's starting to feel, it's not there yet. It's not there. I'm not saying that it's there, but it's starting to feel like the fall has sent an advanced letter of its impending arrival. You know what I mean? Like, you got it in the mail. It's like, we're not here yet. We're not saying we're here. We'll be here soon. Just you wait. In the shade, it's not too miserable. It's on the way. Football is happening. We're gearing up towards comfortable outside temperatures. The Instagram in-shape people with 3% body fat have to go back inside. I can't wait. We're close. We're getting there.
I don't remember all the details, but I saw a tweet yesterday suggesting that it was the longest day we were going to have until like next summer, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And that it would be the last time that the sun set at after 8 or whatever the nugget was. But the point was, it's official. Like, every single day now gets a little shorter than the day before, a couple minutes shorter. And this is the very slow burn initially to fall.
Mm-hmm.
But you fast forward a couple of weeks, it's going to look a little different at night. We're there. I was visiting with a buddy today. He brought his kids. I took my kids. We met at Chuck E. Cheese, and we did the thing. And we were just talking, and he's like, dude, football. You ready? I was like, I stay
ready. Yeah, I'm ready.
I'm always ready, man.
But you have to like have like a normal conversation. You're like, yeah, I'm excited about the year. Never mind that I spent the entire year thinking about it.
Football. Speaking of football, the Commanders were practicing with the Dolphins today. A lot of positive and glowing reports on Jaden Daniels from the Miami media. Isn't that nice?
Yes.
The Jets media, to a lesser extent, we saw some of this. Wasn't a great day of practice, but we saw that they were impressed not only in the practice session and then in the game with Jaden Daniels. So we got our compliments. There's a pride in that. It's almost like being a parent and having, you know, other parents tell you that your kids are really well behaved or how cute they are, or that they say please and thank you and yes, ma'am, and no, sir. I just love reading all of the comments from the Miami media all over social media and the internet today about how legit and dynamic Jaden Daniels look throwing the football.
Again, it doesn't make you 30 for 33 for 320 yards and 3 touchdowns in a week, but it's not. I'd rather hear it than not. I'd rather have the good things printed than not. You can swat them aside and say, I'm sure, you know, in Baltimore for the joint practice last year, there were probably some nice things said about Sam Howell, and that was when Ron Rivera knew for real that Sam was the guy he really was. You could choose to be cynical or skeptical, and that's totally fine. I get it. We've all been here before. We've read the kind words about the Washington player that whether delivers or not is still TBD. But I'm telling you, I'd rather hear the good reports from people that have no stake in the game than not.
Couple of NFL stories to start with today before we get to the Commanders. Matthew Judon officially traded to the Atlanta Falcons. This is one of those moves that I think makes as much sense as you're going to find with a personnel decision. They don't have a pass rush. They were the worst team in the league at getting to the quarterback last year. And over the last couple of years, few teams have been in the same zip code as them when it comes to ineffectiveness getting after the quarterback. Judon, who had 12.5 sacks in 2021 and 15.5 sacks last year before a season in which he only played 4 games and averaged a sack per game, is now headed to Atlanta for a 3rd-round pick. I really like this trade for Terry Fontenot. I also think it makes a lot of sense for the Patriots. You're in a rebuild. You don't necessarily need a 32-year-old pass rusher. And Judon, by the way, turns 32 years old today. So happy birthday. Get on a plane. Get to Atlanta. But he's basically been a sack per game guy over the last 2.5 seasons. That ain't nothing. That's a 15, 17 sack player. Let's say he goes and gets you 11 or 12 this year if you're Atlanta. You went and paid a bunch of money to Kirk Cousins. You're trying to win right now. Why not give up a 3rd-round pick for Matthew Judon?
No brainer. And, you know, you don't want to be left in the Jets position of trading for somebody then going through some sort of prolonged contract negotiation or, you know, stalemate or whatever. So you'd assume that maybe, you know, the agent and them have been in contact and something probably will get worked out here sooner rather than later. But this is a void for the Atlanta Falcons in a very winnable, below average, even bad division. So they were a couple of pieces away. This is one of those pieces to me. Again, this isn't, you know, TJ Watt in his prime. This isn't some superstar. A really solid professional pass rusher for a group that was in dire need of some.
The other thing I wanted to say about the Judon transaction is for a long time, we've had callers, we've had listeners ask why teams don't front load contracts more often. Why don't you pay guys, you know, earlier so that at the back end of the deal, it doesn't get unwieldy? And I think this is why. That was a mostly front-loaded contract. He got cap hits of about $30 million the last 2 years. His cap hit this year is sub $7 million. Mm-hmm. Well, the reason is the player doesn't want to play at that number anymore. And so now, after he's put up his big productive numbers, he goes, hey, I'm underpaid pretty massively. I'd like to be rewarded.
And it kind of has a point.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you're going, nah, dude, we already paid you all the big money in this deal. Like, you agreed to the deal.
Yeah, we want you to think about the previous years being overpaid as part of this year, too. And nobody does.
And that's just not how it works. So he's right to be upset at $6 million. That's $11 million less than Washington, just as an example, would have paid Chase Young this year if they picked up his fifth-year option everybody wanted him to pick up. Over $17 million for a pass rusher. That's the going rate. And he's going to make basically a third of that. And he's like, nah, I'm good on that. So that's why teams don't always like front-loading deals. It sounds great until the player's not happy and they need an extension anyway. So then you paid them on the front end and you're paying them again before the back end. Whereas if you backload the contracts and pay them a little bit earlier before they break out, then at least the money matches a little better with the production.
Yeah, you get a couple years of affordability. I put that in quotes. You get a couple years of, you know, he's going to outperform his contract, and then you probably have to tear it up and swallow some, but still, it's probably better long-term for teams.
The other of the NFL storylines today was in Washington, where the Commanders did indeed officially sign Trace McSorley, and we found out that, according to Dan Quinn, not only will Sam Hartman not play in preseason game 2 this weekend in Miami, which we already knew, but they have ruled out Marcus Mariota as well. Mariota dealing with a bit of a knee. He's not going to play. We knew he wouldn't take part in the practice, but they're just going all the way through with it and saying he's not going to play in the game either. So that means Jaden Daniels starts.
Mm-hmm.
But I was hearing yesterday he's only going to play a drive or two. So less than a quarter, I'd imagine, for him. Then a bunch of Driscoll. And then
Trace McSorley show.
A quarter, maybe more, but I would imagine a lot of Driscoll. Like second quarter, third quarter, Driscoll, and then you finish out with McSorley.
I think McSorley is going to play the most snaps in the game. I know that sounds pretty intuitive.
Yeah. I think Driscoll would. So I think I could be wrong.
I think they'll do Driscoll for, you know, the remnants of the first quarter until halftime. I can't imagine him coming out and starting the second half. And maybe I'm wrong about that. I guess it also depends on how things go. If Washington goes, you know, down the field and scores on their first drive like they did in the first game, Daniels' day is done. Driscoll probably plays the rest of that first half, and then I could see them handing it off to McSorley.
Dan Quinn was asked about the wide receiver position today, and namely the number two wide receiver position. I think de facto, that's the expectation is that that's Jahan Dotson, right? Even though Jahan Dotson, I think, is going to play the slot, which traditionally you would think of as the third receiver. But you know, number one, number two, number three, I don't know. There was a great quote this week by Matt LaFleur, the head coach of the Packers, where somebody asked him, like, who's your number one wide receiver? And they've been asking him this all camp, apparently, because they've got Dobbs, Watson. They got the Michigan State rookie from last year who was awesome as well, who led them in targets and catches. And he said, if someone else asks me about the number one wide receiver, I'm going to vomit. He's like, that's not a real thing to us. Like, you guys care about that. For us, they're just roles. Who's X on this play? Who's the Z? Who are we throwing it to? And I think that's actually how teams think about it largely. But I also get the exercise on the outside where, as fans, as the media, we're going, Terry McLaurin's their number one. Presumably, Jahan Dotson, your number one, your first-round pick a few years ago, is your number two wide receiver. Except if you kick him inside, he might be the third read or whatever it is. But I digress to say that Quinn was asked about the number two wideout, and it did not sound good for Dotson, and it did not really sound good for their certainty in their wide receiver room. This is what he had to say.
Where are you at with the wide receiver two search?
I would say we are right in the middle of it. And so you'll see a lot of guys in today. You'll see two, three, four, five. There's a lot of guys that are really battling. I've been really impressed with Alamide, and I thought he's had a really strong camp. I'm looking forward to getting Luke some extra work into here, Jahan, Diami. So that's where we're at, and then the special teams is going to have a factor in that as well.
So he name-checked four different guys, but he basically said there, Danny, there is a competition still going to figure out who's going to be the second guy on the field when we run with two wide receivers.
This is the point I made earlier in the week as well, all but confirmed here by Dan Quinn. It's that a guy that's your true number two, and I know that if teams don't think of it that way, that's totally fine. The rest of us peasants and peons, we'll think of it that way. Your number one option is Terry McLaurin. The targets say that, the production says that, etc. Show me a number two receiver around the league, Devontae Smith in division. You know, go around, find the second best wideout on a team, Tyler Lockett in Seattle. Name anybody. That guy is not playing deep into the second quarter of your first preseason game. He's just not. That's not how it works. That's not what's normal. That's not what's typical. This is the act of somebody that is in a battle, that is needing reps, needing to demonstrate his superiority or not to McCaffrey, to Crowder, to Zacchaeus, to De'Ami Brown, the guys that Dan Quinn mentioned. So I understand also the point about true number one or number two. Like, Amon-Ra St. Brown is a slot receiver. He's their number one in Detroit.
Correct.
Different schemes then. Chris Godwin has had massive years out of the slot, quote-unquote, in Tampa. I mean, there are guys that dominate their roles, so that's fine. X, Y, Z, call it whatever you want.
Yeah, I think as a team, you would view it, to your point, like the second most targeted guy or whatever. But the point stands that the radar went up and the antenna starts to raise when you see Jahan Dotson playing in the second half of a preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's why Monday we're going, what do we think about this? Now, he played in the slot so much that I think he is transitioning to that position. Same with Jamin Davis as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's not a great comp, because I actually think Davis could be on the bubble. But Jamin Davis is going to play a lot in the preseason and more in the second half than you would expect, because he's quite literally learning a new position and like getting work at a new spot. Whereas Dotson in the slot, if he's running on the outside in the third quarter and fourth quarter of a preseason game, that would really be telling to me. But I don't think it's that wacky or big of an ask for him to move inside where he's played some. It's not like he's learning a new language, I don't think. It's not like you're teaching him Spanish, so it shouldn't be that big of a transition. But I just think this is a telling clip that we just played. First of all, they continue to be blown away by Alamide Zacchaeus. He's the guy, when I went out to those practices at receiver, that stood out the most. Of all the players in the room, which isn't to say that Terry McLaurin's not the best, but just the days I was out there, maybe the first day McLaurin might have been the top guy, but Zacchaeus was like the most targeted, most frequently thrown to active receiver. And he's got some time with Dan Quinn in the past as well, so it stands to reason Quinn's going to like him. But he names him first and saying, I love what he's done. I did like that I heard Luke McCaffrey's name brought up. They did mention De'Ami Brown, who made the big catch. Mm-hmm. Jahan was obviously referenced there, but If you're Dotson, and at this point now, 3 years in, you're not definitively just when two receivers are on the field going to be that guy, even if you're moving to slot, that feels telling.
Right. With this quote-unquote position change, and I actually would say, I'd push back a little bit, next-gen stats had him in the slot last year around 40% of the time. It was right. A different scheme, different design.
60% of the time in this game they just played.
Yeah, that's a big difference. It's gone up. So it's not as if this is, it's not like a Davis, you're an outside linebacker. Now you're a defensive end.
I think they could view him as a slot receiver. The last staff viewed him as an outside
receiver. A little bit of everything. I'm actually with you. I think he's going to play a lot more in the slot. But again, I don't have a better way to put it than this. He could be your starting slot receiver, which means he's in on 11 personnel or certain other packages. He'd be out of the game in the first quarter. He'd be out of the game early in the second quarter. He wasn't. He was in that same group of you've got something to prove here. I think that's the way we should look at it, regardless of, or maybe irrespective of where he lined up and how. It's how long. It tells you you haven't won anything. You have not arrived. Your draft status doesn't matter to us, certainly, and they're proving that. You are fighting it out with these other guys that Dan Quinn named.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty clear, though, that they've sent the message as loudly as they can in that building. If you weren't brought in by them, we don't really care how you got here.
Yeah.
To your point, first round pick, second round pick. Forbes was listed with the backups on the depth chart as an example. I don't think they care at all.
No, they don't.
How much a guy got paid by the Marty Party, which is awkward for Martin Mayhew, still there.
Still there!
Or how many, what pick was used on a guy in the Rivera era. I tweeted this today, at Grant H. Paulson, if you want to go check out the tweet. But the four first-round picks for Ron Rivera.
It's just so bad.
Chase Young, third team in 10 months right now.
Mm-hmm.
Jamin Davis, new position on the bubble trying to make the Commanders. Jahan Dotson, to paraphrase Quinn today, may not start. And that's not a fair way to put it because everyone's an 11 personnel, but you get the point.
Right.
And then Emmanuel Forbes trying to bounce back from a horrendous rookie season where he got benched and is battling to even be on the field as a starter this year. That's your four first-round picks as a regime, which is pretty stunning. But what did you guys make of what Dan Quinn had to say about wide receiver today? And what do you make of his comments as it pertains to Jahan Dotson? We'll open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines. We'll hit them hard next. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. And if there's really a chance that Alamide Zaccheaus is their number two or De'Ami Brown is their number two, shouldn't we be revisiting the Brandon Ayuk conversation then? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Where are you at with the wide receiver two search?
I would say we are right in the middle of it. And so you'll see a lot of guys in today. You'll see two, three, four, five. There's a lot of guys that are really battling. I've been really impressed with Alamide, and I thought he's had a really strong camp. Looking forward to getting Luke some extra work into here. Jahan, Diami. So that's where we're at. And then the special teams is going to have a factor in that as well.
Dan Quinn today ahead of a workout with the Dolphins, which apparently was a nice showcase for Jaden Daniels. We'll talk to Cameron Wolf, NFL Network, covers the Dolphins in Miami. He was at practice today, and he's joining us in 2 hours at 4:30 right here on Grant and Danny. Phone lines open, 800-636-1067, if you'd like to chime in on this wide receiver room. And Quinn today suggesting there is an ongoing battle for the second wide receiver job. What does that mean for Jahan Dotson? Danny, I just saw that Haley Welch, who is the Hawk Tua girl,
yes,
threw out the first pitch for the New York Mets today.
I just said that to you in the old DM chat. Just curious your thoughts.
So you're just teeing me up to be furious.
Yeah. I thought you'd be interested in that.
Oh, I didn't realize you sent that.
I thought you'd find that interesting and want to comment.
I'm looking at MLB's Twitter account.
That's what
I just tweeted out. Away, yeah. Viral internet star Haley Welch threw out the first pitch at the Mets game today. Number one, thank God it was the Mets, not the Nationals. Embarrassing for the Mets. Now, if the Nationals do this, I'll kill them when they do it too. What a joke. You loser franchise. You absolute terrible, second-rate, inferior New York franchise. That's your first pitch? Good for you. Second, only in America. Only in America have these 15 minutes now become 3 hours. From the director that brought you the Kardashians and Real Housewives of whatever the hell. You should all be ashamed who have made this possible and have put this person over. Back to you, Danny.
Tough for me on this one. The thing I always try to distinguish is I have no animus or ill will towards an individual person. In other words, like...
No, I don't dislike her.
I know, I'm not saying you do. There's... She's minding her business to answer the question. What I can't stand is the consistent elevating and putting over of zero accomplishment. See what I'm saying? Like, this person didn't invent something. This is not an excellence in an academic field. This is not some sort of thing that's going to help people. This is worthless. And not only is it celebrated, it's continued to be thrown, and then we just pretend that it's worth something, and so, it's wrong.
Where I come down a little differently, we agree mostly, but it's the reason a person gets famous, I think, is really important. The thing that made her famous was something that we should all be ashamed of, honestly. If we're what if that was your daughter, is what I would ask people. But we're not. We love it. We clap like seals. We high five. We put posters up about it. She becomes the meme. She gets the book deal. She hosts the new Ellen show. We can't help ourselves. It's Kim Kardashian. How did we find out about Kim Kardashian? She was an actress in a movie. Wasn't a drama or
no,
a comedy.
No, no.
But it was a movie that she was in that people watched. But here we are. I mean, again, only in America.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Raphael in Dunkirk. Raphael, what'd you make of what Dan Quinn had to say about the number two wide receiver battle?
What I make out of it is this. A Dotson's going to need to be running like a Nissan GTR with brand new tires and brand new brakes. Okay? Turn around, the first two names that DQ said, those would be the Chevy running out front. That's how I see it. Because old cars can't make it, they're going to be changing really soon to a third, to a fourth string. That's what I'm looking at.
Right. This is still a sports radio show, though, right? Yeah.
I call all the time.
Gotcha. Okay, we were talking about Jahan Dotson. Were you talking about cars?
Exactly. But Dotson's supposed to be like an Nissan. Fire it up, buddy. You can get to that, but faster and better.
Okay. I think I get it now. I didn't at first. And I don't now either. Was Jahan Dotson the Nissan? I thought we were eavesdropping on a conversation that he was having about a used car and a negotiation with somebody.
I was so confident. Like a minute into that call, I just kept waiting for you to handle that because I was sure he was not aware he was on the air yet.
And it turns out
he was selling a vehicle.
It turns out that was a prepared statement. Like those remarks were like,
I like when you go, yeah, man, but you're on the air. We're doing the sports show now. And he's like, yeah, he's the Nissan.
And yeah, I missed
idiot.
A lot
what
of
don't
it.
Don't you get Danny?
Man.
You dummy. He's the Nissan.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. That's one of those, like, 800-636-1067. Give us a call. I have a point I'd like to make. Here is my analogy. Or here's what I've thought of. Here's how I'll quantify my position. Jahan Dotson is a Nissan. Back to you.
The game that we've never played before, but we could be playing right now.
Uh-huh.
Does he know that he called us? Where it's like we go to him, and he's not sure yet if he's on the radio or is he's. Here's the game: making a call to the fan or selling a vehicle, a used vehicle to a buddy.
Like, because we've had the occasional wrong number or like a confused person.
Yeah.
Like, remember the person that called us and wanted us to break down like the Seattle Sounders?
Of course,
because we're Washington. He just like looked up Washington and like this is the first thing that came up. So like Washington sports. I'm like, I don't know much about that squad, bro. But like that happens, and like, or we get phone calls occasionally from someone that wants to know what time it is in Vancouver or whatever the hell's going on, like different radio stations. I thought that was that.
I appreciate the call.
Thank you, sir.
I think we're better for that call.
Jahan Dotson, Nissan.
As a show in my day.
Rev it up.
Let's not call him Jahan anymore. Let's call him Nissan.
Nissan.
Dotson. Let's go to Kevin in Arlington. What's up, Kevin? If Alameda Zacchaeus was a vehicle, what vehicle would he be?
He'd be a Nissan 280Z.
280Z.
Oh, all right.
The 280Z.
That makes Luke McCaffrey an SUV. I'm going to say he's a Ford Explorer.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking, is he saying that Nissans used to be Dotsons? I don't know. Hey, here's the thing. I have a micro and a macro. The micro is we've got McLaurin and Jax. You signed Pringle a few weeks ago. You signed Bryant this week. It's Terry and the Jags, boys. We picked second overall because we had the 31st, in my opinion, worst roster. Maybe New England's was worse, but we're starting from scratch. My only problem with starting from scratch is we're Terry McLaurin injury away from Jag World. We're in Jag World already at offensive tackle, unless my guy Brandon Coleman surprises. All the money spent this last year, so it's not just an indictment on the last regime, and I'm not saying it's an indictment on Adam, but you know they said, slow your roll, people. This can take a few years. Because all the money really went on the defense with Luvu and Doris Armstrong and Chin and Wagner and Fowler. Not that there was big money, but the names and the culture change, the investment was on that side of the ball.
Which I disagree with.
Thanks, Kev.
And I think with a number two overall pick at quarterback, shouldn't have been done that way. Give me weapons. Give me playmakers. Give me guys that help elevate my quarterback more directly. I have no problem with making your defense better, too. They had enough money to do all of it, right? One of the things we've talked about is John Dotson, Terry McLaurin, anybody on offense is going to be better served, just like Jaden Daniels, the rookie quarterback, is going to be better served if your defense is better. There's less pressure on you to go out and excel. But the one thing they didn't do was add directly a tackle prior to the third round, add a weapon at wide receiver. So my assumption was they really liked their group. But we're finding out that's not necessarily the case. So one of two things then needs to be concluded. The first is that they thought that this group was good enough to help elevate Jaden Daniels as a rookie and to be a good offense, and they thought wrong. Or two, and this is probably more realistic, it hasn't been a big priority for them yet to really address the wide receiver room. They're okay not being great right now. They think Jaden Daniels will be plenty fine in year one with this wide receiver room, and they'll go out and they'll address it in the future. But yeah, it's got to be one of those two
right.
things.
Right, and now and for the whole offseason, I'm going, it's option one. They must not know it's not good. They must not be aware. This otherwise really smart group. Over the last week, I've kind of shifted to, I don't think they care. I don't think they care that now the tackle position I find incredible because I don't have an insight into their thinking, not that I have any kind of direct line, but for the receiver spot, I don't think they care that it's not good. I think they're going to major in tight ends, dump it to Austin Eckler. McLaurin's your only real threat. The other guys are going to be, you know, seldom targeted, and they're going to run the dang ball.
For this year,
for
I
this
think
year.
That's true.
Yeah.
I think long-term, it'll be different. But the reason I, 2 weeks ago, 1 week ago when you were out, have said I would have no problem trading for Brandon Ayuk, giving up picks, $30 million, and a receiver, if that's what it took, mm-hmm. to go get him. But I would not do that. It's not my preference. It's not my first goal, right? It's just one of those things I wouldn't hate, but I would do something else. But the reason that I wouldn't do it is because I kind of thought that they liked their receivers enough. If they are right now behind the scenes going, it's Terry and the Misfits. It's Terry, some screens to Olamide Zaccheaus, and then a bunch of guys that are going to be, you know, third, fourth, right, wide receivers this year for us. Then you probably should be talking about going and getting Ayuk. But that's maybe where they disagree with us, you and I on this show. Their prioritization of having a strong receiver room for their number two overall pick does not seem like something they care a lot about. You and I care 99 out of 100. They care like maybe 70 out of 100. Now, I wish those things were closer together, but as long as Jaden Daniels, via running game, via better defense, via McLaurin, Ertz, Sinnott, whatever else they want to bake into the equation, has a decent year, then it really won't matter. But if he struggles, if this goes badly this year, all signs right now are very positive, but if he really does struggle and they can't make plays and receivers aren't getting any separation, then they're going to have to answer some tough questions with Brandon Ayuk just staring at him all offseason saying, I'm happy to go there. At the same time that they were telling you that their number two wide receiver might be a journeyman 5'8 guy from UVA.
Yeah, or if it wasn't, you know, Ayuk, it could have been somebody else. It could have been in the draft. It could have been, instead of, you know, a defensive tackle that we all like, it could have been a speed receiver in that spot. I mean, there were a million avenues with cap and draft space to add somebody at that spot, and they chose not to until a conditional end of the third round player who is part of this rotation as well. It's not a priority for them, and the only two conclusions are what you laid out. They liked the room, or now that I've come around to this week, they don't really care about the quality of that room.
For those of you guys who were like me, maybe not inclined to want to go get Ayuk, whether you hated the idea, think it's a bad idea, or you're like me and you just said, probably not. Too much money, too much to give up right now. If, in fact, they're sitting there today saying we don't really like the receiver room, as evidence maybe by going and getting Pringle, Martavis Bryant, whatever else, shouldn't they revisit that? I mean, isn't that something? Grant and Danny on the Fan, Dan Quinn today saying there's an open competition for the second wide receiver spot. I was just sent some numbers here. Over the past 10 seasons, there have been 9 instances of a wide receiver meeting these qualifications. 24 or younger, round one NFL draft capital, so first round pick, 24 or younger. 350 plus routes run in a season, so you didn't get hurt, you played a lot. Target per route run below 17%, so this is how often you're thrown to. So we're taking that you were drafted in the first round, your age, that you played a lot, and how often you got thrown the football into account, basically. And there were 2 guys last year that added to this list of 9 players over the last 10 years. And they were Quentin Johnston, who's supposedly the big bust out with the Chargers that everybody is over, and Jahan Dotson. And Dotson in 2022, in 12 games, was on this list, and in 2023. The other names on this list, Nelson Agholor, Philip Dorsett, Jalen Reagor, Nelson Agholor again, Quentin Johnston, Laquon Treadwell, and John Ross after he was drafted in the first round for the Bengals. So I know Eugene Shen's long gone, but there is an R&D department over in Commander Land.
Maybe they had that spreadsheet there.
They might be diving in on some of those numbers. Let's go to Shane in Switzerland. What's up, Shane?
Hey, what's up, Commander Danny, Grant? How y'all doing today?
Good, buddy.
Doing well.
Hey, look, here's the thing. Our receiving core, I'm happy with our receiving core. Our receiving core is a good receiving core. Is it the top 10 in the league? No, but I think they have potential. What's going to make this receiving core is going to be the tight end room. If we can get any production out of tight end room, that's going to open up our receivers. And number one, we can. It doesn't matter if you got Jerry Rice out there. It doesn't matter. If you can't keep him upright, it doesn't matter who's out there. So, yeah, I think they still need to address the offensive line a little bit more. But I like our receiving core. I like where it's
at.
Let me ask you,
as far as the receivers go, McLaurin's proven. Obviously, you're high on a Jahan bounce back, which, I mean, he was a first-round pick, and he flashed as a rookie.
Brown's going to be my surprise.
I was going to say, what else do they have that you like? So, Deion's your guy.
Watch and see. This is going to be his make-up, breakout year in the league. Because, look, face it, if he doesn't produce this year, he's gone. He's out of the league. He's not in – let's just call it what it is. Maybe somebody picks him up. But – I think he's going to have a breakout. He had a decent, you know, but I think Brown's going to surprise a lot of people this year. I really do. I think he's going to step up. And I think our tight end comeback player of the year is going to be Rodgers. I think he's going to surprise a lot. The speed is still there. He's going across the middle.
Rodgers?
He's going to be hard. Yes, absolutely. That's my comeback. Because
They already
cut him. They just did. I'm been away, so I don't know.
Okay,
so
yeah.
I'm
he's
just
gone.
Catching up.
No, it's all good. It's all good. I appreciate you, Shane. Yeah, he's not on the team anymore. So I don't know how good of a chance he's got to be your comeback.
That'd be a real comeback player of the year.
Twice over. He
came
might
back
be
on the team.
Coming back with somebody else. I hope Shane's right about Diami Brown, and he may be. Diami had the big catch. He has not had a legitimate opportunity in an offense with a quality quarterback, and so the stars could finally align. But I would be curious. I don't know the answer to this. I'm just spitballing out loud. Has there ever been a wide receiver drafted in the top three rounds especially, but even an undrafted free agent type, who played for three straight seasons, healthy, active on game day like 50 times, who caught fewer than 13 balls for 3 years in a row and then became a really good player? I would imagine that's a very, very small group of players, don't you?
Yes.
I mean, 3 years where you're active and available on game day, if they want you to run routes and go catch the football, you can. And you've caught 12 or fewer balls. It was 12 catches, 5 catches, 12 catches over 3 seasons. And now you become a stud. There's just such a small chance for that.
Yeah, I mean, there have been late breakout guys, but not with what you're talking about, right? Like, I think it took Jimmy Smith, name jumped off the top of my head, like 4 or 5 years to finally break in the league and find something and be, you know, a Pro Bowl caliber player. That's not what this is. This is a guy, as you said, now a couple regimes, a third-round pick, who at one point they said, hey, we think we got something here, and then he's DNP, coach decision, inactive, not targeted.
And if they were a team that ran 12 personnel or something with two tight ends or three tight ends,
right,
and they ran the ball a million times, maybe. Last year, they ran 11 personnel, three receiver sets or more, 75% of the time. Only the Rams, Panthers, Bengals, and Colts had three or more receivers on the field more than Eric Bieniemy. So there was really no good reason, if you're healthy, for Diami Brown to not have fought his way into the mix last year. Let's go to Joe in Manassas on Grant and Danny. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, what's up, Grant and Danny? Love the show as always. Long time no talk.
Oh,
hey,
buddy. But, it's been a minute.
Yeah, what's up, fellas? Hey, but no, I'm really worried. I mean, like that guy, I mean, he's not worried, but he doesn't even know who's on the team. Yeah, that Dotson, I mean, Zacchaeus, if they're talking about him being the number two, wasn't he like a special teams player in Philly last year? Like, I mean, I know they have good receivers, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and that cast of characters, but isn't that scary? I mean, you could run that guy out there as your number two when he couldn't even, I mean, that's just scary to me. I know he's put in the work in the camp and doing looking good, but, man, that's an indictment on our receivers. And Jahan Dotson, is he really that bad? Or he can't get open? I mean, like, that scares me.
I don't
me.
Think he's Thank that bad, but look, we're going to find out this year. I think a lot of last year had to do with Howell and Bieniemy, and he just wasn't a factor, but he was on the field. They didn't throw to him. I think if you're wide open clapping for the football, you probably get it more often than he did. To answer your question on Zacchaeus, yeah, he was pretty uninvolved last season, but that hasn't been his whole career. Year before that in Atlanta, he had 40 catches for 530 yards. So he has actually produced in the league. But there's no disputing. If you're saying is an indictment, well, compared to Philly's
100%.
Yes is the answer. And compared to Philly's receiver room, it's night and day. They have A.J. Brown, who's a top five guy in the league. Then they've got Devontae Smith, who you can make the case would be the number one here. If not, he's neck and neck with Terry, probably in that range among wide receivers in the league. And even beyond that, I would say they're deeper down their depth chart than Washington is. So him catching 10 balls last year actually speaks pretty well to him. They have Paris Campbell, who's come in from the Giants. They drafted Johnny Wilson from Florida State in the 6th round. They still have the speedster John Ross, former first-round pick. So they're pretty loaded at wide receiver in Philly.
Yeah, it's a common theme, by the way, for the best offenses in the league. I mean, you go up and down, Miami, San Francisco, Detroit, Philly, the Rams. It's pretty standard, right? Like, you have a pretty good room. You've got a star and then good compliments. Not, hey, we'll see what happens with a journeyman Jerry, a former first-round pick that couldn't catch 50 balls in an offense that threw it 600 million times last year. That's not what it looks like.
It's also surprising to me, Peter's coming from San Fran, that it hasn't been something he cared more about. Just because you broke bread with Kyle 1,000 times last year.
Mm-hmm.
Former receiver, sees the game through the lens of a receiver, gets all those receivers open the way that he does, the plays that they make. Where you saw Brock Purdy, who's solid, look like an elite player based on all the weapons around him. Fred Smoot, the longtime great corner here in D.C., two different stints, and one of the more entertaining guests that we have on, is going to join us next on Grant and Danny. I want to talk to him about Mikey Sanristil, who's been turning heads, the early returns on Jaden Daniels, and his thoughts on Dan Quinn and Joe Witt's defense. We'll do that next on G&D. Isn't that something? Grant and Danny on the Fan. Dan Quinn today saying there's an open competition for the second wide receiver spot. I was just sent some numbers here. Over the past 10 seasons, there have been 9 instances of a wide receiver meeting these qualifications. 24 or younger, round 1 NFL draft capital, so first round pick, 24 or younger. 350 plus routes run in a season, so you didn't get hurt, you played a lot. Target per route run below 17%. So this is how often you're thrown to. So we're taking that you were drafted in the first round, your age, that you played a lot, and how often you got thrown the football into account, basically. And there were 2 guys last year that added to this list of 9 players over the last 10 years. And they were Quentin Johnston, who's supposedly the big bust out with the Chargers that everybody is over, and Jahan Dotson. And Dotson in 2022, in 12 games, was on this list, and in 2023. The other names on this list, Nelson Agholor, Philip Dorsett, Jalen Reagor, Nelson Agholor again, Quentin Johnston, Laquon Treadwell, and John Ross after he was drafted in the first round for the Bengals. So I know Eugene Shen's long gone, but there is an R&D department over in Commander Land.
Maybe they had that spreadsheet there.
They might be diving in on some of those numbers. Let's go to Shane in Switzerland. What's up, Shane?
Hey, what's up, Commander Danny, Grant? How y'all doing today?
Good, buddy.
Doing well.
Hey, look, here's the thing. Our receiving core, I'm happy with our receiving core. Our receiving core is a good receiving core. Is it the top 10 in the league? No, but I think they have potential. What's going to make this receiving core is going to be the tight end room. If we can get any production out of tight end room, that's going to open up our receivers. And number one, we can. It doesn't matter if you got Jerry Rice out there. It doesn't matter. If you can't keep him upright, it doesn't matter who's out there. So, yeah, I think they still need to address the offensive line a little bit more. But I like our receiving core. I like where it's
at.
Let me ask you,
as far as the receivers go, McLaurin's proven. Obviously, you're high on a Jahan bounce back, which, I mean, he was a first-round pick, and he flashed as a rookie.
Brown's going to be my surprise.
I was going to say, what else do they have that you like? So, Deion
Brown,
is your guy.
Watch and see. This is going to be his make-up, breakout year in the league. Because, look, face it, if he doesn't produce this year, he's gone. He's out of the league. He's not in. Let's just call it what it is. Maybe somebody picks him up. But I think he's going to have a breakout. He had a decent, you know, but I think Brown's going to surprise a lot of people this year. I really do. I think he's going to step up. And I think our tight end comeback player of the year is going to be Rodgers. I think he's going to surprise a lot. The speed is still there. Going across the middle.
Rodgers?
He's going to be hard. Yes, absolutely.
They
That's my comeback. Because
they already
I'm sorry,
cut
they
him.
Just did. Well, I've been away, so I don't know.
Okay,
so
yeah.
I'm
he's
just
gone.
Catching up.
No, it's all good. It's all good. I appreciate
you, Shane.
Yeah, he's not on the team anymore. So I don't know how good of a chance he's got to be your comeback.
That'd be a real comeback player of the year.
Twice over. He
came
might
back
be
on the team.
Coming back with somebody else. I hope Shane's right about Deami Brown, and he may be. Deami had the big catch. He has not had a legitimate opportunity in an offense with a quality quarterback, and so the stars could finally align. But I would be curious. I don't know the answer to this. I'm just spitballing out loud. Has there ever been a wide receiver drafted in the top 3 rounds especially, but even an undrafted free agent type, who played for 3 straight seasons, healthy, active on game day like 50 times, who caught fewer than 13 balls for 3 years in a row, and then became a really good player? I would imagine that's a very, very small group of players, don't you?
Yes.
I mean, 3 years where you're active and available on game day, if they want you to run routes and go catch the football, you can. And you've caught 12 or fewer balls. It was 12 catches, 5 catches, 12 catches over 3 seasons. And now you become a stud. There's just such a small chance for that.
Yeah, I mean, there have been late breakout guys, but not with what you're talking about, right? Like, I think it took Jimmy Smith, name jumped off the top of my head, like 4 or 5 years to finally break in the league and find something and be, you know, a Pro Bowl caliber player. That's not what this is. This is a guy, as you said, now a couple regimes, a 3rd-round pick who at one point they said, hey, we think we got something here, and then he's DNP, coach decision, inactive, not targeted.
And if they were a team that ran 12 personnel or something with 2 tight ends or 3 tight ends,
right,
and they ran the ball a million times, maybe. Last year, they ran 11 personnel, 3 receiver sets or more, 75% of the time. Only the Rams, Panthers, Bengals, and Colts had three or more receivers on the field more than Eric Bieniemy. So there was really no good reason, if you're healthy, for De'Ami Brown to not have fought his way into the mix last year. Let's go to Joe in Manassas on Grant and Danny. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, what's up, Grant and Danny? Love the show as always. Long time no talk.
Oh,
hey,
buddy. It's been a minute.
Yeah, what's up, fellas? Hey, but no, I'm really worried. I mean, like that guy. I mean, he's not worried, but he doesn't even know who's on the team. That Dotson. I mean, Zacchaeus. If they're talking about him being the number two, wasn't he like a special teams player in Philly last year? Like, I mean, I know they have good receivers, AJ Brown, Devontae Smith, and that cast of characters, but. Isn't that scary? I mean, you could run that guy out there as your number two when he couldn't even, I mean, that's just scary to me. I know he's put in the work in the camp and doing looking good, but, man, that's an indictment on our receivers. And Jahan Dotson, is he really that bad? Or he can't get open? I mean, like, that scares me.
I don't think he's that bad, but look, we're going to find out this year. I think a lot of last year had to do with Howell and Bieniemy, and he just wasn't a factor. But he was on the field. They didn't throw to him. I think if you're wide open clapping for the football, you probably get it more often than he did. To answer your question on Zacchaeus, yeah, he was pretty uninvolved last season, but that hasn't been his whole career. Year before that in Atlanta, he had 40 catches for 530 yards. So he has actually produced in the league. But there's no disputing. If you're saying is an indictment, well, compared to Philly's
100%.
Yes is the answer. And compared to Philly's receiver room, it's night and day. They have A.J. Brown, who's a top five guy in the league. Then they've got Devontae Smith, who you can make the case would be the number one here. If not, he's neck and neck with Terry, probably in that range among wide receivers in the league. And even beyond that, I would say they're deeper down their depth chart than Washington is. So him catching 10 balls last year actually speaks pretty well to him. They have Paris Campbell, who's come in from the Giants. They drafted Johnny Wilson from Florida State in the sixth round. They still have the speedster John Ross, former first-round pick. So they're pretty loaded at wide receiver in Philly.
Yeah, it's a common theme, by the way, for the best offenses in the league. I mean, you go up and down, Miami, San Francisco, Detroit, Philly, the Rams. It's pretty standard, right? Like, you have a pretty good room. You've got a star and then good compliments. Not, hey, we'll see what happens with a journeyman Jerry, a former first-round pick that couldn't catch 50 balls in an offense that threw it 600 million times last year. That's not what it looks like.
It's also surprising to me, Peter's coming from San Fran, that it hasn't been something he cared more about. Just because you broke bread with Kyle 1,000 times last year.
Mm-hmm.
Former receiver, sees the game through the lens of a receiver, gets all those receivers open the way that he does, the plays that they make. Where you saw Brock Purdy, who's solid, look like an elite player based on all the weapons around him. Fred Smoot, the longtime great corner here in D.C., two different stints, and one of the more entertaining guests that we have on is going to join us next on Grant and Danny. I want to talk to him about Mikey Sanristil, who's been turning heads, the early returns on Jaden Daniels, and his thoughts on Dan Quinn and Joe Witt's defense. We'll do that next on G&D.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
What? Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.